7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 36 of Color of Magic, the podcast where we try to talk about gaming while also raising the profile of people that don't normally get the exposure. I'm Daquan Watson, your host, and as usual, I've got my buddy riding shotgun with me, Brian Allen. How's it going this week, man?
Going well. Hope everybody's doing well out there as America reconstructs itself.
Man, you ain't lying. Like, this last week was a mess. It was crazy. Hey, you know what, though? Before we get too far in, I want to say thank you for those of you that had visited our sponsor, Cardsphere.com. They're a great place to pick up cards. It's a great place to sell cards, and both at the price you want to either purchase or get rid of them. They take the work out of finding the people, and it's awesome. So check them out. They support all of our stuff. So go give them a little bit of love. And they only have 1% transactions on your stuff. So it's awesome. But yeah, the other thing too, I want to make a quick segment here so we can thank a lot of people on Patreon. This is going to be a hell of a list because we had a bunch of people come over to our Patreon in the last week. I know so because I may have developed arthritis writing all of these postcards because I handwrite messages to every single person. So let's just go down the list real quick. We've got Joseph Kapusanski. We've got David Prince, Aaron Garcia, Dennis Trinkle, David Fascio Heineman, Ken Ma, Samantha Murphy, Bradley Rose, The Muffin Man, Tori, Arthur Min, Spearfish. I think that's supposed to be High School Game Club. Thank you for that. Awesome that y'all are enjoying the show. LMNO, just like the letters. Ricky Hayashi, Chantel Campbell, Braden Greenlees, Brody J. Michael, Jasmine Soonley, Trey Levine, and Nico. That is a lot of people. We really appreciate y'all.
That is an incredible list. It's like somebody blew up on Twitter last week or something.
Yeah, you would think that's the case. We can talk about that toward the end of the show because there's a lot that goes into that that we can touch on then. So yeah, man, people really responded to the soapbox segment from last week. You know, understandably so. I think it was just with the timing and everything going on in the world and kind of the mode everybody was in, people were super receptive to the episode, which is super awesome. I mean, now check this out. We all know Reddit hates everything, right?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I use Reddit sometime or whatever, but we just know like Reddit hates some things over there. The show actually topped out at 23 upvotes.
Okay.
That never had, like, we get stuff that's just straight downvoted, just straight zeros all the time on Reddit. Like, that Reddit, we have an unspoken, like, I don't know, love, hate, disagreement with Reddit.
I think everybody does to some extent.
They don't like us over there. But our last episode, genuinely, everybody responded positively to it. You know, there was even a thread about me specifically on there that managed, it wasn't a lot. It got to like 5 upvotes, but you know. So I don't know. Maybe we turn the corner. Maybe even Reddit's paying attention and being more appreciative with all the last week's happenings. I don't even know how to explain that. But the soapbox thing we got going on. I got a little something this week. I don't know if you need some soapbox time. Just let me know.
I'm good. I'll handle mine under the next segment.
That's true. We do have a lot of opportunity this week. So let's go step into the crowd and go climb up on the soapbox for a second. Because there's some things we're going to... This one's been kind of bugging me for a little while. This one's been one that's... It's not even necessarily particularly related to the most recent events, but it's one that has been amplified because of the most recent events. And I want to say, we're in the year 2020. We've all been using the internet for a while, whether it's message forums, old rec.games boards, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Y'all got to stop interrupting threads with stuff that just isn't relevant to the topic at hand. Because how many times have you seen somebody post like, hey, this big thing happened at my job, or we're going to be doing this big charity thing or whatever. And then two comments down, somebody's like, hey, we're going to be going to the movies Friday. You want to go? And it's like, what the hell? That has nothing to do with what's going on. Even worse, when the thread's got like 50 responses of people having good back and forth conversation, people sharing links and references for people. And then you're just like, oh, dude, you should have seen last week's episode of The Blacklist. Like, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, why does anybody think that's okay in this day and age? You know, especially right now, when we're having serious discussions about content, about things that have happened at people's jobs, you know, stuff that just happened, you know, people talking about stuff going on with the protests where they're at or whatever. Like, and granted, like I said, it's amplified because of this week, but there are some serious conversations going on. And then people are just posting nonsense for no good reason, just derailing a thread. Like, what are you doing? Like, why? Like I said, in 2020, we are now all savvy enough to know how message threads work, whether that's any platform for that matter. Like, this shouldn't be happening, right? Yeah, I know you've seen that happen a bunch.
You're just throwing the word all out there with the reckless abandon. No, we don't all know how anything works, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we should. We don't have an excuse not to anymore. We don't. Like, and it's the worst thing, too, when I'm trying to follow a discussion, and then there's like a giant left turn, and I'm like, okay, is this even part of this? Did somebody, like, ask for that? Like, you know, like, and not only that, like, it's worse when people drop in and they're like, oh, yeah, I just posted this cool-ass thing on YouTube or whatever. I'm like, dude, what? This isn't a promotion thread. We're talking about something.
I unfriend you. That's not how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how this works.
It's like, dude, come on. But anyway, that's just like, I don't know, maybe that's more of a PSA. But, yeah, I've seen that happen. I've had that happen a couple times in the last week. I've seen some other people post about it. So I'm just like, you know, come on. Let's get it together, people. All right, let's move along. So what did we learn last week, Brian?
Well, as we said, last week was, you know, a big, you know, a lot going on. We knew we were going to, you know, probably offend some people. Figured we'd lose some followers. I lost my Twitch moderator. That I wasn't expecting.
Now, how did this come about? I saw you said something about it, but like, what is the story here?
Well, basically, you know, we did the podcast. My, at this point, former mod listened to the podcast and had some thoughts, she told me. I said, well, by all means, let me know what you thought. We always say, hey, you know, give us your feedback. I just had a feeling, you know, that she was going to disagree. And I'm fine with, you know, just we can disagree on things, but then she sent me a Candace Owens link. So I just knew it was even worse than what I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
And just went down the list of, you know, like, it was every checklist on the I'm not racist, but, you know, from, well, why do black people commit so many crimes? What really? Are we seriously having this?
Here's what blows my mind. That, like, she thinks like that, and she befriended you to be a moderator in your channel.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously we've never talked about anything remotely political before now, but that just all completely floored me.
But that doesn't even make sense to me. Like, how, like, if you believe that about a person or a race or whatever, what is the benefit to being like, cool, I'm going to go into this person's gaming channel. I like what they're doing. I'm going to be a moderator in their channel. And then, but the minute you speak up about it, then she's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's crazy.
I'm like, was I your black friend? Where did all this come from? I just, and again, been. It was one of the people that was with my channel, you know, kind of since the beginning. So it was just mind blowing. I mean, it escalated quickly. It really got out of hand, to put it mildly.
Well, the question I have for you now is, do you need another moderator for your Twitch channel?
That position is definitely open.
All right, public, you heard it. If you know somebody who has experience or would like to be a moderator for Brian's channel, you can look him up. He's DL Caesar on Twitch. Check him out. Send him a message. There's an opening. He could use some help now.
There he is.
So there's your chance to do good.
I guess I feel like we may have to have a few questions beforehand. But
have to have a 5-question interview or something?
Something like that. I mean, Walking Dead. Yeah, how many walkers have you killed? How many people have you killed and why? I don't
know. That's fair. That's fair. Well, yours kind of outdoes me this week, I think. My thing, and this is a little bit harsh, I understand, but I did post this on Twitter and nobody clapped back at me too bad. But I think people, especially right now, well, first off, let me say this. Just save yourself the trouble of reaching out to your Black friends or Black people in your spaces right now and asking if they're okay. Because I'll just tell you, like, I'm pretty well adjusted. And we'll talk about this later. I had a fantastic week last week. And I'm still feeling kind of some way about everything that happened. So just know that there's some feelings for a lot of us regardless. So it's great if you just reach out and say, how can I help? Is there anything I can do? Do you have any projects I could participate in? Like, whatever. Like, there's other things, but just know that a bunch of us ain't doing all right. But I do want to say, with that, and I know it comes from a well-meaning place, but y'all got to stop using Black people's DMs as confessionals. And let me explain what I mean, right? And I've had multiple people, and I will admit, I told people, if you need somebody to talk to, if you need somebody for an interview, if you just need to hear perspectives about the game industry from a Black perspective, I am making myself available. I left all my DMs open, all my messages. So anybody who's looking for somebody to get that perspective, and they may not have that person in their life, I am willing to be that person. Still am. Feel free to shoot me a message. But there are people that took that as an opportunity to just literally just, they might as well have been coming in like, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Because like that's what it felt like. It was just like, man, I read this thing and I saw the videos and I listened to your podcast and, you know, I didn't realize I was doing all these things and you know, I need to do better and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, cool. Thanks. You know, and then that was it. It wasn't like I have this plan for action, you know, or I'm going to do this thing or to help this other organization. It was just like, I got some stuff on my mind and I need to tell somebody. And it's like, dude, this sounds harsh, but man, with the stuff I was dealing with last week, I didn't have the space to be somebody's psychiatrist. And I think what I posted on Twitter, where I was just like, look, I'm going to start treating this like confessional. If you walk up and be like, forgive me, brother, for I have sinned, I'm just going to say, go recite the lyrics of the song 5 times. And I just posted a link to Tupac's Hail Mary. And that's a little too on the nose, but, you know, it kind of felt like it needed to be said.
You're getting, and I'm getting Candace Owens links.
My week was still better than yours. Yeah. But yeah, the reason I bring that up is, like I said, there's a lot of things, several of us, and again, I'm not speaking for everybody because some people may not affected them the same way, but I know several people have spoken to you. We're still processing some things. You know, there's even another thing that, you know, our guest today and myself, we'll talk about a little bit once we get into the show, kind of based on last week, that is a thing that I don't think a lot of people have even considered. And having to take that all on and deal with that on top of everything else can be a little tough for people. So just be aware of that. Like, it's one thing if you're reaching out to lend support, but if you're looking to them to ask for support in what you're feeling right now, it's going to be really hard for a lot of people. So do with that what you will. Let's get into some all-around gaming news and stuff right now, though. Dude, there was a lot of things.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, we're in isolation still, or in quarantine, whatever you want to call it, for a lot of places, and news still just keeps happening in the gaming world. We are not slowing down. So, quick one. For those of you that missed the news, Winota got an emergency ban in Historic, I guess it was late last week. I don't even remember. Time passed so fast. But either way, if you're playing Historic, you won't be able to play with Winota anymore. You didn't even hit the suspended list. I think it just went straight to the banned list. So she's Dunsky. Have fun with that. So this is a fun one. We did a charity tournament last week. I say we because it was a lot of people. It was even on just coverage, on commentary. It was me, Alias V, Brad Nelson, Corey Baumeister, Cedric Phillips. And we had some great people behind the scenes that were doing amazing work for us. I mean, I'll be honest, they made us look real good. There were multiple people that said the whole broadcast was great. You know, they were super excited about it. They had no idea it was a 3-day preparation to make that happen. So credit to everybody with MTG Melee, you know, Brad, you know, all the people on the technical side, because they made, at least me, made my job super easy. And I was on camera a couple of times with Cedric and a couple of times with Corey, and they were great to work with, super easy. I think that was the first time, too, we could find where two black people were the only people on camera during a Magic broadcast for a match, for a full round, for multiple matches. The closest thing we could find, I think Rashad had posted that he had interviewed David Williams at some point, and that was the other end of the time I think we could find where there were just only black people on the screen for any part of a Magic broadcast. And that might be for a gaming broadcast, for all I know. I couldn't find any other instances. So I don't know. I'm sure that can't be completely accurate, but it's not a thing that happens very often. So that was pretty cool. The other side of that is we raised a lot of money. Between the entry fees and the donations, it was over $18,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when we started, we had no idea. I think Brad initially was like, well, what if we set it high at like $25,000? And everybody's like, maybe we get there. I don't know. That seems like a lot. He's like, yeah, let's just start it at $5,000. Like, everybody blew through that by the beginning of the second round. And we're like, oh, man, this is going to be a big day. We might get up there to 20,000. And we came close. You know, we got 18. So, yeah, no hate, man. Everybody was. Yeah, and anybody who wants to see it, you can go to Alias V's Twitch channel. She made sure to save it so everybody can still go watch it. That's spelled A-L-I-S-V. So just like Alias, like another name for a person with the letter V at the end, as in violin. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Everybody was super awesome. Alias, I have to admit, Alias has some amazing mods. There were no issues at all during the entire stream. I don't know what they did, what wizardry they have, but we at one point, I think we peaked at like 1,300 viewers or something. Like, it was awesome. Like, it was great. So I hope we get to do more of that stuff. And, you know, appreciative to everybody who reached out and, you know, gave me compliments and stuff about my commentary work, because, you know, I thought it was average, but people liked it. So thank you. And yeah, just all around, I just want to say thanks to everybody. You know, that money's going to go a long way to helping people with their legal defenses, you know, with their bail funds and everything else with stuff that's going on. So yeah, that's a big effort that's going to really pay off. Some other, I guess, streaming and Twitch related news, though, and I'm sure you've heard about this, Brian, but the DMCA takedowns that are happening all over Twitch. This has been a big, big thing. You know, people have been, you've seen people complaining on pretty much every platform about how it's not fair and I didn't know and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, what's your take on this, man?
I have, you know, been just trying to make sure there's virtually no music in my streams anyway, but there's music. Like, I got one. This wasn't actually Twitch. This is YouTube, but they flagged one of my Madden streams, and it's music that's in game.
Yeah, I remember you saying something about that a few weeks back. So,
you know, I've been diligently trying to make sure there's not even a hint of any actual music anywhere, because it's not like I really do I'm not a music based stream, so there's no, just other than, you know, ambient, there's really no reason I need to have it. So I've just been trying to make sure I go without it, and gonna redouble those efforts now, because they're obviously getting serious. I'm sure somebody somewhere put a hammer down, because I don't think they just out of the blue start doing it.
Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, we know that the music industry has gotten pretty notorious about tackling these things. You know, even if you use a 5-second segment sometimes just for humor in a video, you know, that could trigger a bot, and then somebody comes with the letter, right? And it's tough because I do sympathize for people on one level that for some of these people, they've had to remove a couple years, you know, worth of videos, clips, highlights, whatever. And those are a lot of memories that are gone. Now, some people have downloaded them onto another drive or whatever and did that. But like, even then, that's taken them a whole day, if not two, to do this. So some of them are just like mass removing a bunch of stuff and trying to save time. But I, on the other hand, I don't feel bad because you always knew it was a potential thing. Like, it's not like this is new. We see it on other platforms. We know what the music industry is like. And to some small extent, it is fair in the sense that, like, we talk about art. You know, we wouldn't want people using other people's IPs, using other people's artwork or whatever. And music kind of falls in that same thing. So it's a weird gray area space, right? Because some people might get more people downloading their stuff because a certain streamer played it. But at the same time, it's kind of a weird place because people are streaming and able to make money. And if you're using somebody else's music to enhance your broadcast, you know, it creates a weird little thing there. So I don't really know.
For years, I would see people give advice like, oh, just don't worry about it, man. You're probably worried about it. And we're now to where clearly everybody's got to worry about it.
I mean, I've had people come into my stream and say, like, hey, do you take requests for music? And I just tell them, like, no, I sure don't. Like, I don't use standard music that people would know. I use stuff from the YouTube audio library. There's stuff from the Free Music Project. I have a couple others that I think tag that you can just go find free music for. And there's a bunch of stuff, different genres, different moods, you know, whatever you want. You can find music out there. But, yeah, sure, it's not going to have your favorite lyrics or whatever. But that's better than risking getting in trouble. Even more so for me, because I'll sometimes use a clip for something in a YouTube video, or I want to post it on Twitter or wherever. I can't have the music floating around in it, you know, without risking getting in trouble or having to change the audio on a thing. And so it's just easier to start out with no copyrighted music in the background.
Yeah, it's just not worth it. I mean, what it adds versus what you could potentially lose, it is not a good risk-reward situation.
Yeah, and a crazy story. I think I've mentioned him before. There's a guy named Harris Heller that has a channel on YouTube called Alpha Gaming. He also streams, and I don't know what he streams under. It might be on either of those if you want to look him up on Twitch. But he was telling a story about before he became kind of like a full-time streamer and content creator. They did a little bit of, him and his wife were part of a little band and they did some music. And there was a song that wasn't very popular that they did a rendition of and they posted it on YouTube and it got a lot. I think it's like, you know, a couple million views or whatever, right? Well, the, I guess, parent company or studio of that song came to them. They got reprimanded. YouTube sent them down a thing. That company, the studio, then got to get all the revenue that that channel was or that video was generating. And then here's the kicker. Because they did that version of it, people actually went looking for the original, and then the original made more money because they did the different version of it. So, like, even in cases where it helps them, you know, for a song that nobody had heard of apparently at the time, they still got punished, still lost all their money for it and everything else. So, yeah, it's just not worth doing.
I've heard not necessarily that exact version, but similar horror stories, what seems like a million times now.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, so for every person says, no, it's not a big deal or whatever, like, no, there are a lot of examples out there where it is a thing. And you'll either lose revenue from a thing you put real time, production, and effort into, or worst case scenario, you end up getting sued or something. Or your channel gets shut down and you can't generate any money.
None of these are good options. And again, what's the, you know, say you can have song requests. Just not worth it.
Yeah, it's not. And just find something else to engage your audience. I mean, whatever it is, just pick something, find something. Watch other streams for examples of ideas. I don't know what to tell you, but it's not worth the risk. So another other couple of quick things we want to point out. There is the Players Tour online this weekend. Starts Saturday, June 13th at 9 a.m. And that's going to be interesting because this is going to be, I guess, where we thought we might be playing Paper Magic. We are no longer playing Paper Magic. We're playing online. So this is the first of two, I believe, Players Tour. They're calling them Players Tour Online. So this will be the first one. And there's supposed to be coverage all weekend. So we'll see what happens. It's kind of, they're made changes on the fly, obviously, because of this whole COVID situation and people not being able to fly and everything else. So we'll see how it works out. But if nothing else, you get top level pro magic, at least for a weekend, and we get to see how it goes. I don't know what anybody's expecting, but, you know, we'll check it out. I can tell you, though, little secret, yours truly is going to be on some snippets between rounds. So, okay. Yeah, I got to do some Q&A stuff, kind of the simple stuff. They just fill, like, you know, 1 or 2 minutes between rounds, you know, find an interesting personality and answer some questions or whatever. So I did one of those kind of things for them. Sadly, it's nothing super impressive. And then right as we were going live, we kind of had to shoehorn something else in here that Wizards of the Coast posted an announcement. It looks like about 2 hours before we started recording. And I kind of want to get this right here so it's exact, so people know. But for those of you who don't know, there's a card called Invoke Prejudice from Legends, but it's been around for a while. And I don't want to get too much into the artist personal stuff. I mean, we talked about it a little bit off air, not on the live show, but he has some racist tendencies. That's the best I can say about it. And that definitely came through in that piece of art, for those of you who know. And I will not be linking it. You have to go find it yourself. Just saying. But after having that brought to their attention and things connected to it, Wizards kind of took the extra step and decided they were going to review just the Magic catalog, and they're removing the images on Gatherer of several cards. So if you want a quick read of the announcement, is today we'll be changing the multiverse ID and removing the Gatherer card image for the card Invoke Prejudice, originally printed in 1994. The card is racist and made even worse by the multiverse ID. It was unfortunately codified with years ago. For those of you that don't know, just, and honestly, no idea if it's coincidental because of the number of cards and where it fell or if it was done purposely or whatever, but the ID for identifying the card is 1488. If you look up that term, you will discover that it's a white supremacist Nazi calling card, I guess, if you want to call it that, and speaks to kind of the whole Nazi regime and Hitler and all that. There's some stuff online. You can do some research to get the details on that. But anyway, they're trying to correct that situation. There's no place for racism in our game nor anywhere else. But to that point, it should never have been published nor placed in the Gatherer. And for that, we are sorry. The events of the past weeks and the ongoing conversation about how we can better support people of color have caused us to examine ourselves, our actions, and our inactions. We appreciate everyone helping us to recognize when we fall short. We should have been better, we can be better, and we will be better. To that end, we'll be removing a number of images from our database, including Invoke Prejudice, Cleanse, Stone Throwing Devils, Pradesh Gypsies, Jihad, Imprison, and Crusade. Replacing those card images will be the following statement. We have removed this card image from our database due to its racist depiction, text, or combination thereof. Racism in any form is unacceptable and has no place in our games nor anywhere else. Additionally, these cards will be banned in all sanctioned tournament play. There's much more work to be done as we continue to make our games, communities, and company more inclusive. Know that we work every day to do better, and we hear you. We look forward to sharing more of our plans with you as our games and organization evolve. So that's kind of a lot of stuff baked in there, depending on how you want to read some of that or look at it. I don't know, man. I'll give you a say first. How do you feel about this?
I mean, this, as a little bit of a newer player, when I first saw that card, I was like, how did this ever happen? I was just... I haven't had a chance to look at some of the other ones, but Invoke Prejudice especially, like, I just was just completely just, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it now, how this took place at a, you know, at a professional company of any kind.
Well, you know, I will say, and don't get me wrong, I'm not cutting Wizards a passer because the imagery is still kind of effed up. Like, somebody should have still been like, yo, like,
no.
Can we at least do something about these, like, pillowcase hats these guys are wearing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. First, that it got printed to begin with, and then that it remained up until, you know, until somebody wrote an article complaining about it, and it and some other problems, you know, that they allege went on at Wizards.
Yeah, and some people are questioning, like, why are some of these other cards on there? I mean, like, Pradesh Gypsies, you know, over the last, I would say, at least 8 years that I'm aware of, maybe longer, the term Gypsy has become derogatory for some people. Yeah. So I get that one being removed. You know, Jihad, obviously, is a religious kind of connotation thing going on there. I believe either Crusade or Cleanse has some, like, crosses in the artwork or something, so those are being removed, I'm assuming, for that reason.
Stone throwing devils is another racist term.
Yeah, so I mean, like, so I get it, like, they're and I will say this for Wizards, right? Because you could have just taken down Invoke Prejudice, and there's a large percentage of the community that probably wouldn't even have questioned those other cards, but inevitably you probably would have had one person come forward and then start a thing on social media. Well, what about this card? Well, what about this card? So for as much as, you know, I'm still equally bothered as everybody else that something like Invoke Prejudice got to just stay around this long, at least I will give them credit for showing that they're taking extra actions and just saying, you know what, let's just clear the slate. Let's just get rid of all of it. There's no reason for any of this to exist. And then the extra step of just saying you can't even play with them, not in any sanctioned events. You show up, you can't play with them. So I'm on board with that. I think this is a good start.
Yeah, it's a start, and it speaks to the problem of not having enough people of diverse background inside the building to prevent some of the stuff from happening to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. And to be fair, in the beginning in the game industry, there were little to no black people. I mean, I've told the story on the podcast before where I was, at for a long time, one of the only black business owners in a convention with hundreds of game store owners. Like, I was the one for a little bit, or one of, like, less than five, you know, at any given point. So it just wasn't a thing. So, not saying it's right, but at least I get why there was nobody there doing spot checks on things. But now that's not the case any longer. So we got to be better, you know?
And I guess we should mention, you know, for people to read the piece by Zion Begg, the Wizards That I Know, which is, I guess, kind of what started this firestorm that led to the removal of these cards.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely out there, too. There's been a lot of stuff, you know, and I told people, you can be harsh on whatever company you want. You have that right. But there's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to hear about over the next month or so. I mean, I even posted on Twitter. I said, how many CEOs do you think are freaking out that their HR department's about to get a whole lot of complaints this week and a bunch of investigations started? Because, hell, was it Bon Appetit magazine? Like, did you see the thing on that a couple days ago?
No, there's been so much just...
Oh, yeah. Like, their dude in charge, or I guess not the C-suite guys, but the guy in charge of their magazine. Because they shoot different food videos and stuff or whatever all over the world. Turns out, apparently, he was paying the white guests that came on to talk about food or whatever, but none of the guests of color got any money.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the thing that went down. And then stories started coming out, right? Because once that became public, everybody else was like, well, let me tell you about this other thing, right? And then one of them was, they apparently had a discussion with him about, hey, we've done videos all over the world and talk about all these different cuisine. How come we haven't shot anything in, like, Africa? And he's like, well, you know, I think the food would be a little different and our viewers and readers wouldn't necessarily want to make those recipes anyway or whatever. It's like, yeah, like, dude, come on. Right. So, yeah, it's literally going to be everywhere. I mean, this is just a sad reality for people. Like, a lot of people are waking up to realize this was way more common than you wanted to believe it was. Like, I told people, like, I'm not going to be shocked that any... Hell, the CrossFit dude.
Yeah.
He had to step down. Yeah, they lost their CEO. He was just like, cool. I can't be on the board anymore, obviously, or it's just going to be bad for business. So he's gone. because he came out flat. He said it, dude. No, that he said it on a Zoom call in front of people, like with franchisees and crap. Oh man, I almost cussed right there. Like I'm getting all animated over here.
People we're cussing on that one. He went full Papa John, you might as well say.
Oh, he definitely did. Because I think, what was his quote? It was something about like, I have no remorse for George Floyd or some crap like that.
Yeah. Or are we just doing like, this because it's the white thing to do?
Like, oh yeah, just right. And dude, like on a business call.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Like, and that's what I'm telling people. Like, this was prevalent everywhere.
During a call to address racism goes on racist screed. You can't. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, right? So it's like, I get it. You want to boycott all these companies and whatever. And like, if we did that, truthfully, I'd be shopping at like 5 places. Like, let's just be real about it. Like, so we're in a situation where for me personally, granted, everybody has the right to do what they want. I am not telling anybody else how to handle this situation because it's going to be deeply personal for a lot of people. Me personally, what I'm looking at this point is like, okay, cool. We've now made a big stink about it. Everybody's come and walked the streets for it. Hell, it looked like from the pictures my friends are sending me for overseas, like all of Australia and half of Germany and everybody else is on board with us. So now it's like, no more excuses. You see how big of a problem this is. What are your actions going forward? And that's what I'm judging people on. Now, granted, others, I get it. It might just be a bridge too far for you and you've been pushed enough. And I totally accept that. I'm just saying, for me personally, I want to see how people are reacting going forward. And to be fair, like you can have the Wizards reaction. We're like, yeah, look, you know what? They're right. We have effed up. Let's go clean up all of our crap and start there. Or you can have the CrossFit dude and be like, F y'all. I got no Fs to give. Like just, you know, whatever. So, you know, make of it what you will. There's going to be a bunch of stuff still to come out. I would not. Oh, yeah, yeah. Other stuff. There were so many. Like the Cards Against Humanity stuff came out. Did you see that one?
No. Well, I mean, Humanity was already problematic. So what else
happened? Oh, dude, all of it. You're talking about like controlling people's activity in their offices, you know, putting people of color on like the minimum wage kind of like holiday gigs or whatever.
Oh, God.
Oh yeah, like dude, the list is long. Like there's literally a thread. And what was it? What was the hashtag? It was like CAH is done or something like that. But like, yeah, you can look it up. Like it's crazy. So yeah, everybody, I'm telling y'all, there's gonna be, we ain't done yet. I'm telling you, we have a good, I'm assuming it's gonna go to at least the end of the month. So you got at least 20 more days or so of this stuff. Like a lot of stuff's gonna get brought to light. And you know, as they say, sometimes sunlight is the best disinfectant.
This is me not being shocked that the people that came up with Cards Against Humanity were racist.
Yep. Well, they have a history anyway, but we won't get into that. That's another podcast all its own.
Yeah.
Because that's crazy. But if you follow me online or in our Discord, I told you we were going to have a guest this week. And this guest is a fun one for us to have because this is somebody that I think a lot of people sleep on. From a creative perspective, he comes up with a lot of great decks and he has a fun stream. Like he's really chill. I think because I relate, it's another really chill stream that people enjoy just hanging out in while you get to play games. He goes online by J, the letter J, the word double, the letter R, the number 2. So JRR2, otherwise known as John. Welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty awesome. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Considering how crazy the last couple of weeks have been, these last few days have definitely been a change of pace. But I'm going to give you a chance to kind of talk about yourself a little bit, dude. How did you get into Magic and everything else? How did you first come across the game?
I actually got into Magic back between Return of Ravnica and Gatecrash. Gatecrash was about to be released. And me and my buddy went to Chicago to play in a Pokemon tournament. And it's kind of funny because we went for Pokemon and end up playing Magic. And I learned the game. I'm like, wow, this is actually really fun. So then I got hooked on it. And since then, since 2013, it was like the winter. It was like January or something. December 2012 or January 2013, somewhere around there. I've been playing off and on. I start playing like my own like brews and stuff like that from the very beginning, building, you know, like 5-color decks, and while everybody else is running around with like one or 2-color decks, and was crushing like FNMs and everything like that, Star City Games. So yeah, it's been a fun journey. I think it's been a total, like, if you subtract my 2-year break that it took, let's see, I think it's from 2016 till 2018, I stopped playing and picked it back up last year and started back in like 2020. I mean, like the M20. And okay. Have been going strong since, so.
Well, you know, you seem very, like a deep thinker and pretty passionate about the game. So, like, what caused your break there in the middle?
You said, what is my break?
Yeah, what caused your break? Like, what got you to step away for those couple of years?
Oh, it's so I can focus on Pokemon again. I decided to get back into competitive Pokemon, in which I was actually able to earn my Worlds invite for the third consecutive year that I played competitively. So yeah, all 3 years that I played competitive Pokemon, I actually earned my World Championship invite, which is pretty cool.
Dang, that's like overachieving.
Yeah, I won U.S. Nationals my first season playing in Pokemon, so that was cool. It was a 1,000-player tournament. Won $5,000 in a trip to Hawaii.
That's not bad.
Yeah. it was pretty cool. But yeah, like I wanted to focus on Pokemon again, so I decided to step away from Magic, and then I picked it back up because I stopped playing Pokemon. I'm always into some kind of card game.
So you said you had friends and stuff that play. How's your, like, I don't know, what's your support system been around you? Because me and Brian talk a lot about when we started playing, you know, even our family and stuff are just like, what kind of weird-ass game is that or whatever? Like, nobody plays that, you know. So what was it like for you when you started playing, I guess in your case, started playing Pokemon, you know, and really talking about being competitive with it? You know, how did other people view that?
I really didn't have a support base because not many people knew me. But I was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player for a long time at Yeti Gaming is my home store. And what was really nice though is the people who were into both games, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, like there are these brothers, the Cracklers, who were the sons of the store owner. They played both Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! So it was really nice to, you know, kind of like transition with them. Other than that, no one else knew who I was, basically. So I had to kind of like earn my reputation around there, and I earned it pretty quickly because when I first started Pokemon, my first ever event, I actually made top 4 in, which was pretty awesome because like I made my own deck. Everyone else was running like, you know, metagame decks, like, you know, the top tier, and here I come with my own little brew, and end up making top 4.
You've always been a brewer, regardless of what game you're playing.
Yeah, like I just always have, like, here's the thing about me is, like, one thing you'll learn very quickly about me is I like to enjoy the game itself, you know, like, and what you can do in the game. I don't necessarily focus on just winning. I like to focus on enjoyment, and then the winning is like a bonus, basically.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You know, when I talk about, you know, people come by my channel because they're just like, oh man, somebody that's actually playing like an aggro deck, or somebody's actually playing a Gruul deck, you know, because I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be playing a lot of the boring, you know, takes 25 turns to win control decks for it. That's just, because it's not fun, right? Mm-hmm. If I can't find another way to win, then I'll just have fun on the way there. to whatever that record is. Now, when I do find a way to win, it's great. And, you know, sometimes you win $2,000 and that's awesome. But
congratulations, by the way.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I totally get that feel completely, man. Completely. Yeah,
like, and that's one thing I really like about you is that you play fun decks that are, you know, you tune them and, you know, make them good. And then you do well with them, which is really awesome. So,
well, yeah, let's talk about just how things have progressed for you. Like, when did you start streaming, actually? Because you obviously you kind of got back into gaming, you said, in the last year or so. Like, when did you decide to start streaming Magic?
I started streaming Magic. So I switched from Fortnite to Magic. I kind of transitioned, actually. So I was streaming both between September and December. I didn't really do that many Magic streams, though. I only did, like, you know, once every, like, maybe, like, a couple weeks. Which obviously is not, that's not enough at all.
Well, yeah, for any game.
Yeah, like, so, and then what I did in January was completely switch over from Fortnite, or should I say, not switch over, but eliminate Fortnite from my streaming schedule, and did strictly just MTG.
That's a big change.
Yeah, it was. It was very hard for me because, I really enjoyed streaming Fortnite, and I love the community and everything. And the good thing is that the Fortnite community still comes around and shows up for the Magic streams. Yeah. Like, and I thought that would never happen. I'm like, no way in the world they would come just watch a game that they have no idea what's going on. But they still come in. They still show support. You know, they'll either drop lurks or, you know, some of them still subscribe. I've had a lot of them, you know, come in, you know, donate bits and stuff like that. And it's like, wow, like I never would have ever thought that they would still support though I'm streaming a game that they don't even play.
That's cool. So like, it sounds like you tapped into a very friendly part of that community that's very supportive. So what was your motivation to, like, it, you know, when you start having that conversation with yourself, like, what was the catalyst to go, you know what, I think I'm gonna be done streaming Fortnite and I'm gonna start streaming Magic 3 times a week?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, something I've been wanting to do for a while before I actually did it. It was more of like the fear of, like, I didn't want to, like, disappoint anyone, because I knew, like, you know, me and the Fortnite community were, like, very close. I actually still talk with them in the Fortnite Discord that I have. And still, you know, jump on and play games with them and everything, which is really cool. But I wanted to actually jump to Magic strictly for a while, like for like probably a few months, because I really enjoy the Magic community. I really enjoy Magic in general. Like, you know, the game is just, you know, so much different than anything else. So like the fact that, you know, like I would just, you know, want to play it all the time, and then I can stream it on top of that, you know, that'd be perfect. So, because I was already on Magic a lot, you know, during the times I wasn't streaming it. That's how I ended up, I actually finished number one back in October, during a time I actually was not streaming yet.
Well, you finished number one twice. I think people don't know that. You were Mythic number one for at the end of two different seasons in like the last 5 months or something, right? 6 months?
Yeah. So in October, before I started streaming Magic, and then the month that I actually started streaming Magic strictly, I also finished number one.
Yeah, and that's what blows me away. I think that people follow all these people that do really well in the Magic community, or you'll see him post like, oh, this is this person who's, you know, top 5 or top 10 in the Mythic ladder. And I'm like, y'all not know about this dude? Like this dude's over here doing work and y'all aren't saying anything about this guy.
Oh, I'll never expect you get exposure, because like the thing is, like, I didn't really put myself out there. So like, well, in January, I kind of did, though. Like, I kind of put myself out there, which is how I ended up gaining traction for, you know, not only my channel, but my Twitter as well. I was able to gain some traction on there. Went from, I think at the beginning of the year, I was at like just over 300 followers, and now I'm over 1300 in a matter of a few months.
You're crushing it.
I can attribute a lot of that to pretty much everybody else, honestly, you know, for being generous enough to, you know, like share the content that I create. I would not be able to do any of that on my own. Like, so I'm very thankful for everybody that has supported me in that kind of way.
Well, man, like I said, I'm just appreciative of just having you in the community. Cause I said, other than just your decks, I think it's cool just to have, you know, also another darker skin tone person that, you know, when we're talking about rating other streams, we're like, no, there's more of us. I promise. I can show you somebody. Oh, yeah. I'm not the only one.
Sure. Yeah. I can already name you quite a few.
Yeah. And it's funny, cause you get a lot of people who have literally stopped on my stream and they've actually, and it doesn't matter, like different races, even where they've just been like, man, it's like, I've been looking for some black streamer to follow and I just can't find anybody or whatever. I'm like, dude, they're like, have you just scanned down the thing on Twitch? Like, I mean, like, yeah, they're out there, you know, I promise.
Like, I don't care what race somebody is, you know, I mean, I watch them for who they are. But it's still satisfying to see other, you know, like black streamers on the platform streaming the same game as me. It makes me feel a lot more, you know, like I feel more, what's the word for it? I feel more welcome.
Or yeah, for me, comfortable. That's exactly it. I think that's the word, right? It's a little bit of safety and comfort that you know that, like, you're not the only one that's going to have a certain view or a certain look or talk a certain way or whatever, that they'll get used to seeing it because there's other people that are also there that identify with all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's exactly it, though.
Well, like, all right, really, man. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I really enjoy the ones that are out there, too. Like JD Greenwich, you know, you're one of them. The Ultimate Ratio.
Yeah, the Ultimate Ratio's got a good one too. He's only been streaming for a couple months, and he's got a lot happening on his stream.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. Like, so, like, I always like to, you know, swing by streams or, you know, lurk whenever I can. So.
But yeah, it's a small network, but it's growing. So yeah, now that we found out a little bit about you, we have a segment we like to do called Five Fire Questions, where I get to ask you three serious questions. Brian's going to ask you two lighter questions, and they're kind of just get your opinion or responses on the spot if you're down for it.
Okay.
Our guests tend to be very sharp, but let's see how they respond when we put their feet to the fire in Five Fire Questions. All right, so my first question, and I don't know, I almost feel like I should ask you for both Pokemon and Magic. What is your favorite deck you have ever built?
My favorite deck I've ever built. This is a tough one because it's between the Kling Klang deck that I built to win Nationals back in 2012, and then my Naya Tokens deck that I built. This is for Pokemon was the Kling Klang, obviously, and then Naya Tokens for Magic back in 2014. It's 2014. It was during the Return to Ravnica till Theros block, and I will tell you, like, I love that deck so much that I went and, like, foiled out the entire thing, basically. Like, I spent, like, $200 on foil Voice of Resurgences. I literally went on eBay and bought every possible foil card that I could find for the deck and spent probably about $500 or so on the deck after I already owned the deck. So... That's how much I love that deck. And it was fun. I actually got two Star City Games tops with it, which was really nice. Had a top 16 and a top 32 with it. And then also had, I'd say, at least a dozen FNM wins with it. So,
yeah, I can't really hate that. I totally get why that's a big deal for you.
Yeah, like it was my baby. Like, I tuned it constantly. You know, it was so consistent. It literally won. Like, it was literally beating everything. That's how much I worked on it. Like, I was just tuning it. And then my Kling Kling deck that I won Nationals with, the reason why I picked that as one of the options is that idea I came up with before the set even released for that current format. Mm-hmm. And I literally like brewed it all up before the cards were actually out. And I tuned it the same way I did the Naya tokens, except that I actually won a huge event with it. So that's the only reason why, because like, you know, both of those were like my creations that I thought of and worked on. It was like, they're pretty much like, you know, like my, my kids before my kids, essentially. So.
I feel you totally.
So, yeah, that's that.
Cool. So my next question is, what would you like to go down, let's say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what would you like to be known for in the gaming community?
I like to be known for, you know, being positive and, you know, trying to bring everybody together, and also, you know, doing the best I can to help others enjoy, you know, the game and the community itself. You know, like I'm always constantly, that's one reason why I brew decks all the time, because, you know, I hear it constantly. I see it on Twitter all the time. I see it in my chat all the time. It's like, oh, this deck again. It's like, oh, man. You know, or I hate my deck. You know, like, it's the only deck that, you know, I really, you know, win with. So it's like, I'm playing it just to rank up. And it's like, you know, like, I hear it all the time. I see it all the time. And I feel like with me constantly trying to, you know, I'm basically essentially just brewing constantly all day so I can put lists out there for other people to use. And, you know, I do deck doctors, you know, coaching and all that kind of stuff. So then I can help other people be able to enjoy Magic a lot more, you know, because obviously winning equals, you know, more fun, usually.
Oh yeah. And for a lot of people, that's definitely the case.
Yeah. Like, and anything I can do to help them achieve that, you know, like I will try to do that.
Cool. And then the last question I have for you is, what is the one, if you could give somebody one piece of deck building advice to help them be better at building decks, what would you give them?
I would have to say, don't try to do too much with your decks. Like, just, man, keep it simple.
I agree with that so much.
Like, have a game plan in mind. No silly techs in your deck to do one little thing that has an insignificant impact on the game. It's got to be something that's meaningful, you know? Like, everything in your deck should have a meaning to it. So, just, you know, like, make sure you just have an idea, stick to that idea, and then you can fine-tune your deck to have text once you figure out the game plan.
Cool. Brian, what do you got for him?
All right, you talked a little bit about, you know, kind of the stuff you brew in some of your favorite decks. So what do you feel like is the card that people think of when they think of you?
For which game? Magic?
Yeah, for Magic. Well, you can pick one for each game. Or for
Pokemon. I mean, for Pokemon, it's Kling Kling, because, like, that's what everybody, like, so many people call me Kling Kling, dude, so.
Well, there you go. So,
yeah, but yeah, for Magic, this one's probably, this was a tough one here. It would have to be either Questing Beast or there was another one. I personally identify myself with like Sign of Ichigazi though.
Okay.
But yeah, other people probably know me for my love of Questing Beast.
He does a lot. That's what would have been the quality too, definitely.
Like that card is just great.
Okay. And then
terribly designed, but I love it.
Then for my second question, this is super hard hitting. Pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
Nay. Nay.
The man says nay.
I'm sorry.
Hey, you don't have to apologize around here. Believe me, we have a lot of hard opinions. It's totally okay. All right, well, since you're here,
don't want
to
put
any of our guests out before we get to the dinner table. So, and I think this last week we all got some piece of this that makes sense to talk about. In the sense of, and you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, John, you know, about just the exposure, that's kind of the importance of that, right? Because in the last week to 10 days, you know, with everything kind of blowing up and all the protests happening and the stuff with Floyd, you know, obviously that was the catalyst for a lot of things and all these discussions going around online. It feels like all of a sudden people have discovered Black creators in different spaces, whether like in our case where it's streamers and YouTubers or whatever, you know, our podcast hit an all-time high in numbers last week.
Wow.
You know, people are sharing all of the stuff around that they wouldn't share otherwise, you know, and I've seen the same thing. People are trying to find Black artists. People are trying to find Black owned clothing companies to buy from, and, you know, like things that they weren't doing before. And I think I want to take this segment to explain to people how big even a little bit of exposure is for somebody who's still trying to get seen or be known. And I want to go first here because I want to talk about like some of my actual numbers. And be aware for anybody listening that this is basically a change of the last 9 days. And well, okay, first off, let me say this. Like, you know, I had a post go viral. Obviously, we talked about that a little bit last week. I ended up getting to do the charity stream last weekend, which was a success. And honestly, literally every time, because I checked, every time I was on camera and then somebody asked for my social links and they put them up in the channel, I got 10 to 12 new people on YouTube and on Twitch, like instantly. You know, I got to do... They had a segment of our podcast on the Ponder podcast, and we had a couple of people come download our episode. People followed our stuff over there. Had some people come to my social links because of it. You know, I was on, well, by the time you listen to this, it'll be yesterday, but I was on with Gavin on Good Morning Magic and had people specifically say, hey, I saw you on Gavin's show. I came over here, you know, and like, these are all little things, but in the matter of a week, that literally changed my ability to monetize stuff on social networks. It changed my ability to speak to people and gave me a bigger platform. And none of those are huge efforts, mind you. Those aren't things that like somebody had to go through special effort to do. Like, this is literally people just sharing my content and giving me an opportunity to speak in front of some people. Like on YouTube, in that same amount of time, I went from 540 subscribers to... literally, as of right now, I'm going to check and give you an accurate number, 1,054. So literally exactly 1,000 in just over a week.
That's crazy.
I went from a goal of trying to reach 1,000 by the end of the summer so I could monetize my YouTube channel to now have already been in monetization for 2 days.
I was going to say, you literally hit the monetization subscriber goal, the 1,000 number in a week. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Right, so on Twitch, I had just over, I think the number was 520 followers. I now have over, or I mean on Twitter, and now I have over 2,200.
That's incredible.
On Twitch, I had 500 about a little over 500 followers. I'm coming up on 800 now. And I went from 15 subs to 47 subs. Like, that's insane. And that's it basically in a week. That's how much exposure matters to us.
Yeah, exposure is huge.
Yeah, and this is what we're talking about off, like in the pre-show. Those of you that are patrons, you'll hear this discussion, you know, but we talked about the fact that the smaller you are, the bigger and more important that exposure is. Because we're not doing anything different today than we were doing yesterday. But all of a sudden, people know about us, and now our numbers are just ticking up like crazy. And I know you talked about it a little bit too, John, about you've been having a crazy week as well with all the people discovering you.
Yeah, like the fact that, you know, all it takes is like, you know, there's people sharing, you know, people, you know, like letting other people know, you know, through word of mouth, and, you know, like, or, you know, or whether it's, you know, like reach, you know, retweets, or, you know, people sending, you know, your stream link or some, you know, anything, like the fact that other people are sharing your content, like it means so much more than I think a lot of people realize it does. And I feel like that's the catalyst that's needed to, you know, get going, you know, like, you know, without exposure, you can't grow, you know, and I feel like that's going to bring light to a lot of new people, I feel.
Yeah. And the biggest thing for me, and this has been hard, like, and I, I'm not afraid to admit I've been a little bit, I don't know, I didn't really cry over it, but I felt teary-eyed thinking about it in some ways. Mm-hmm. Because
it is emotional, honestly.
For me, it is. I mean, because literally everything I was wondering if was possible through these efforts and the work I've been putting in almost like magically happened overnight, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also hard to reconcile that it only happened because a dude was basically suffocated in the streets and half the world had to go protest. Like, that's such a weird space to be in, because I want to be appreciative about everything that happened. But at the same time, it's hard to not be skeptical and say, okay, well, how long will this last? Are people still going to keep sharing everything? Are people still going to come around? Like, once this is no longer a thing and we're done with the protests and everything else, are they still going to want to download the podcast every week? You know, are they still going to want to hear us complain about issues that are going on, racial things or whatever, in the gaming community? Like, I don't know. So I have to almost like double down to take advantage of the opportunity right now, because you don't know how long it's going to last.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, over time is going to die down, of course, you know, but I feel like this happening right now is going to allow people to be more open in the future. So they'll be more willing or more likely to do what they're doing now, as opposed to, you know, like never doing it, or maybe every once in a while do it, you know, but I feel like this is going to, have a long-term effect. You know, it's not going to be as much as it is right now, obviously, but it's still going to, I feel like it's going to have a long-term lasting effect. And that's mostly because people are just aware now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of on that boat mostly myself, as I think this is one of the few times. I mean, I jokingly said, like, when was the last time you'd seen literally the whole world get behind a cause?
Yeah,
I have not. Like, I don't think I ever have, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like, okay, this is the one time that like everybody agrees. Like, yeah, things are pretty effed up right now. We need to do something.
Mitt Romney is marching for Black Lives Matter. Who'd have ever thought?
Wait, what?
Yeah, Mitt Romney was in a Black Lives Matter march the other day.
Wow. That shocks me.
Yeah, that's where we are now, right? So I get it. And that's what I'm saying. Like, part of it is you're probably right. Like, I do honestly believe there. And like I said, I've had a lot of people send me a bunch of direct personal messages and stuff. So, like, obviously things are resonating with people, and that's good. But I think just personally, I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or just like seeing the history of things or whatever. I'm kind of like, all right, how much advantage can I take of this right now? You know, and not squander an opportunity.
Oh, no, that's perfectly right to have that mindset. Just because, you know, what if it doesn't have a lasting effect? You know, like, you know, I mean, not only that, but the more you do now, the better it's going to be for you later, regardless of what happens.
For sure.
We all know we're not fixing racism this week, but we're having a lot of important conversations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's for sure.
And I've been doing my part. You know, I guess it was like Tuesday of this week. I had posted a deck and played through it on YouTube, and I put your username right in the title. I mean, you know, told people, hey, here's where the idea came from. Told them on video. So it's like,
I appreciate
just so
that,
people know where other ideas are coming from. Like, just, hey, cool. Yeah, it's awesome that you like watching me play this, but like, I didn't come up with this particular idea. This other dude did. Like, go check him out, you know? Because now that I'm getting some clout, I'm like, I'm trying to share it with other people.
Hey, Malinair, I'm not sure if you know him, but he built an Abzan list that was, you know, was pretty cool. You know, it had the Nithori in it, and Nightpack Ambusher and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm gonna try this out. I'm gonna try this out on stream. And I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty cool, you know. So, and you know, I actually named the deck Malinair Special, you know. So, and made sure I let everybody know in chat, like, hey, this is Malinair's deck. You should definitely, you know, go check him out, because so here's how I feel about it. Like, if you're like, you know, like using somebody else's, like, you know, deck or content, anything like that, you know, let it be known, like, hey, this is from this person, you know, or, you know, this source, you know, like me, I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, butthurt if, you know, somebody doesn't mention me, but I would obviously appreciate it if they did, you know, but I always feel obligated to mention someone if I'm using their content.
I'm the same way, you know, because I feel like, well, I mean, I just know for myself, like today, like since this week, I've been doing two videos a day, right? Because I've been doing my normal content and I've been doing a review of the cards that get previewed the previous day or whatever. And I know how much time that takes. I mean, I'm literally waking up before the sun's up, you know, to make sure I have time to record everything, edit it, let it render, get it loaded to YouTube, which sometimes takes a while, you know, and then get the product out there and then be able to promote it, right? So if other people are doing that and they put up something cool, whether it's a neat idea or an article or a podcast or whatever, like, cool, I want people to know where I got my motivation from, you know, like, hey, I listened to this person, or I read this thing somebody posted, or I used this deck from them or whatever, because they put up their time into it and I want them to get recognition just the same.
So, like, and I feel like, you know, a lot of people are gonna respect you for that as well. Like, because I mean, you're doing what's right, and that goes a long way, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I just think we get more ideas and we grow the game and we grow our markets by exposing people to more people and more ideas and whatever. And we've talked about it before, like some guests have said, like there have been times they were just like, well, I didn't know if I was going to be accepted because I didn't see that many people that look like me. You know, not that anybody was being even outwardly hostile, but it's like you look around and you're like, okay, well, is there some other reason that more black people aren't here? You know, like, because there's not going to be any black people there to tell you, you know?
Right.
I mean, you're kind of guessing.
I mean, there's two sides to look at, you know, looking at how many people are trying to do that, you know, versus how many people are accepted. I don't know the numbers on it personally, but yeah, like always, I'm always trying to look into, you know, like why is there, you know, so few, you know, I would like to know why is there so few personally, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's always been, I think an issue is like, I feel like in a lot of categories, you know, whether it's, you know, jobs or you know, like maybe a certain sport. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of things that you can look at. where there's not many people of color that are doing a particular thing, you know. So it's always something that's like in the back of my mind, like, how come there's not any, you know, black people doing this, you know?
Oh, sure. You know, even up until recently, because think about even with streaming, right, for Magic, most of the black content creators have only been doing it less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about like me, you, Ultimate Ratio, you know, whatever. Like, I'm what, 8 months in, maybe? You know, like, because I started around October, November, because it was just a little while after we started the podcast. And I think Ultimate Ratio has only been going since maybe beginning of the year or so.
Yeah, so yeah, fairly new. And I'm technically fairly new as well.
Yeah.
I've been streaming a lot longer since, I've been streaming since like summer 2018. But I had to switch over to Magic at the end of last year or so.
And I think part of that, what helps is, I think if other people think about it and they're able to see other people and going, okay, cool. Like, they've got a nice little audience and like, they're not dealing with like racial junk in their stream all day or, you know, whatever. Like, it doesn't look as hostile. Like, you can show somebody a positive example and it's like, oh, okay, cool. Then maybe I could do this too. And it gets, like we said earlier, it's like, it becomes comfortable.
Right. Like, whenever I saw you, cause I think at this point, I don't think I've seen any other, black, content creators for Magic at this point. I saw you, I was like, oh, like, I'm like, thank goodness. I'm like,
they do exist.
I saw Unicorn. I did.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
And what was great too is that I actually enjoyed your content. So it was like, you know, it was like a win-win, you know. It's like, you know, not only did I find a black content creator, but, you know, they actually make good content. So, I wouldn't, you know, feel like I'm like supporting you just because of, you know, your color, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the toughest feeling, where you feel like, okay, I kind of want to support you because there's not a lot of us, but like, if I don't enjoy your stuff, now it becomes real difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I mean, like it would be kind of awkward, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like, I think I would still be willing to, but the fact that, you know, the content is actually good, you know, I actually feel good about it. Like, you know, it's like, hey, I'm proud to let people know, you know, I'm like, hey, you should check this guy out. He's great. I don't have to, you know, be like, oh yeah, there's this guy. Yeah. You know, you can check him out, you know,
but you know what though? I think your example is kind of a good point to what we're talking about. That like, you were deciding if you were going to even participate in the Magic content community. And because you were able to see an example, that made you feel better about doing it.
That actually did help my decision too, in switching
and,
over.
And now you have more followers than I have. Like, you know, so it's awesome that, you know, that I was able to at least be an example that opened the door for somebody else to do it even better than I'm doing it.
Like I feel like, I think it could be another reason why you see more colored people now. It's, you know, maybe because, you know, us two were in it, and whoever, like I'm pretty sure there was somebody else too. Like maybe one or two more people that I didn't know about. I still probably don't know about them. I need to start looking at the directories. So that's what I need to do. Yeah, JD and Ultra Ratio, and you know, anyone else who has recently joined in may have not joined in if we weren't there, possibly. Who knows?
Oh, for sure. I've talked with the Ultima Ratio, and he said similar things. Like, he was excited to see that there were other black people playing, because he didn't even know that many black people had played Magic at all, much less a content creator.
Right. It's hard to find. It's hard to find black players in Magic. Whenever I was like, would go to like my FNM, there, you know, maybe like one person. If I went to a Star City event, it was a lot more, but it was still maybe 1 in 10 people, maybe. So it wasn't that many.
Yeah, it's a tough thing, and I don't think people realize, you know. So it's cool. Like, I mean, if we can just be examples for people, that's great. But, you know, just like we're saying, like, just that little bit of exposure, that the right person getting to see your content, that might open the door for a whole world of stuff. And for each one of those people, it might be 20 or 30 more people that pick up the cards because they saw that person streaming.
Like,
I've had people come over that don't even play Magic. They'll just see my stream and, you know, they got recommended by somebody or somebody said my name or whatever. I'm like, cool, I'm gonna go check it out. And they're like, dude, I don't even play cards, but I just like hanging out and talking.
Right. Yeah, it's always nice to be able to just, you know, chill and have a, you know, nice conversation. Talk about, you know, the things that are going on in life or, you know, aspirations, stuff like that.
But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna wrap up this segment and say we do need to do one more thing. And that's, we need to get Brian's social contact stuff up a bit. Cause I've gotten a huge boost and you've gotten a big boost. We need our listeners to hook Brian up. Go follow his social media, go over to his YouTube page. Help him get a new mod for Twitch, because that's some crazy stuff. Like, his mod went all racist on him. I don't even know. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. So, yeah, let's solve those problems. Everybody reach out. Help my boy out. But, yeah, we're going to wrap this thing up. We're running a little bit long, but it was a good conversation. So, John, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on social media and whatnot?
All right, you can find me on Twitter at JRR2. So it's the same as my Twitch. So it's capital. Oh, not necessarily capital, but J, the word double, the letter R, and then number 2. So it's JRR2, all in one. And you can find me on Twitch. I stream about 4 times a week, well, 3 to 4 times a week. And I also have a Discord. You can find that through Twitch and Twitter. So.
All right. And Brian, where can they find you?
I am DL Caesar on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Our family channel is Alan's Ever After on YouTube.
And as always, you can find me under Power Dragon, PowerDragon, on just about everything, but I think TikTok these days. yeah, but I do stream on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. And usually one random stream over the weekend that's unscheduled. I just do it, reach some different people. And you can catch me on YouTube where I have videos up just about every day these days. But yeah, I want to thank everybody for listening. It was a great show. Thank you again, John, for coming and hanging out with us. It was awesome.
Thank you for having me on here.
And wherever you are listening, whenever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
If you have a chance, please check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook at Color of Magic. We're also over on Twitter and Twitch at Color of MTG. And we have a website you can check out, colorofmtg.com. Please share our episode with your friends and help us grow our base. As always, every little bit helps, and we appreciate your support.